Hello, beautiful people, and welcome to season three of the About That podcast with me, your host, your favorite geek psychologist, your favorite pop culture enthusiast, your favorite queen of the nerds, Dr. Vanessa Hintz. I cannot believe that I just said season three of the About That podcast. If you would have told me many moons ago when I decided to finally give it a go and do this podcast thing that I would now be in season three, over 20 episodes, I'd have told you you was lying. I am so thankful and grateful for those of you, whether this be your first time listening to me talk about all the things or whether you are a returning member of this amazing group. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. And it is only fitting that I am starting off season three with one of my dearest friends without whom this podcast likely would not exist. In the moments where I felt very down on myself, experienced a lack of confidence, this dude, this phenomenal human, was one who was always there to lift me up, to give me a kind word. So get you a Victor Dandridge Jr. in your life. That, my dear friends, is who will be my featured guest for the beginning of season three. And we will be having a conversation that is long, long, long overdue between the two of us. A conversation focused on none other than the one, the only, Mr. Miles Morales. So please sit back, relax, and enjoy the first part of my conversation with the hardest working man in comics. Friends, we are joined again today by a man who needs no introduction. I'm going to ask for an introduction, though.
Oh, of course.
The hardest working man in comics, Mr. Victor Dandridge Jr. What is up?
Yo, yo! Hello, hello. Thank you, thank you, thank you so very much for having me back for this kickoff for the new season of About That podcast. Mm. I've been waiting. I'm not going to lie. Okay. Like, not only am I a guest, I'm also a big fan. So, I've been waiting for this glorious return, and I am super appreciative to be allowed to be on it. For those that don't know me, I am Victor Dandridge, lovingly called the hardest working man in comics. I am a writer, self-publisher through my imprint, Vantage and House Productions. I am a phenomenological narratologist through my You Create Comics line, where I am teaching the future fans of comics how to not only appreciate the art form, but to make their own and be a part of it. Mm-hmm. And this is you know, I love you, so I can't. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait to get into this conversation because this has been a long time coming, and yes. I'm so glad that we're finally here.
Listen, y'all. First of all, Victor, thank you so much as always for being here. I'm excited. I'm one of Victor's oldest students in terms of someone who is trying to learn the art of storytelling. I be in there with kids trying to learn, and when he says that this is a long time coming, child, we talking about 5 years. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We talking about 5 years. I didn't even know Victor 5 years ago, but I think the universe knew that we needed this moment was gonna happen.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! So we are here today to talk about the one, the only, none other than Miles Morales. Mm. AKA what a lot of people know him as, the Black Spider-Man. I will also say he's an Afro-Latino. Let's just say that.
We're gonna talk about all of that.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Afro-Latino. That means he black too. And let's say yes and. Mm-hmm. And so when we say that this conversation was 5 years in the making, y'all know the first Spider-Verse movie came out 5 years ago. Almost six now, I guess, because we're on the cusp of 2024.
I mean, I'll give you closer to a solid five because it came out in like December of 2018. So it literally crossed the 5 year mark.
I see you trying to make me feel less guilty.
I got you. I love you. I love you.
Let me tell y'all, I was 2 days ago years old the first time I watched the film. So literally 5 years after its release.
Yeah.
Doc V, the geek, the black geek psychologist, watched it for the first time. And
it happens in phases and stages. It wasn't time for you to see it yet.
And can we say how that is the truth? Because the way that I received these films, one, watching them back to back, two, watching them in my home uninterrupted with subtitles.
Yes.
Vanessa 5 years ago would not have been ready to receive what these films gave me.
Yes.
Just
Yes.
ooh, child. We gonna get into it. We gonna get into
Hold
it.
on, hold on, hold on. Because I want you to really appreciate the gift you gave yourself. Okay.
Yes.
Number one, you watched both of these movies where for me and the general public that saw these when they came out, you had a truncated aspect of superhero blackness
Yes.
that we had that you didn't have.
Yes.
So you've gotten to see Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, which kind of completes like a cipher. And then you see this showcase of Miles in two different movies. Whereas for us that saw it in theater, we had Black Panther, then we had the first Into the Spider-Verse, then we had Wakanda Forever, then we had. So, like, the breakup
Yes.
of these things creates a different experience and showcases a different, we'll call it BIPOC superhero atmosphere. It's very
Yes.
different if you
Yes.
get to see them in certain spaces versus having them broken up as they did,
Yes.
because you're talking the establishment of Black Panther in 2017, early 2017, right? We don't get another thing for almost 2 years where we're going late 2018 that Into the Spider-Verse comes out. And the cultural phenomenon of those two movies, both as showcasing of heroes of color, as well as the acceptance of white culture to those heroes, crazy. Absolutely crazy. So you are very wise in the way that you have kind of encapsulated, here's Black Panther, and this is a showcase of Black hero, of Black African national origin, having the continuation of that story that kind of goes from a what we have discovered has hints of misogyny in it, and then seeing that kind of answered through Wakanda Forever, which is a great thing. Then you get to take some time, deal, address, all the feelings that that kind of invokes, because it's been about a year since Wakanda Forever came out. And there's a lot of things that we're still, like kind of digging into, right? I mean, we had the death of Chadwick Boseman within that. There's a lot. There's a lot. Miles is its own separate thing. And you, again, very wisely, are able to unpack Miles separate from the experience of Black Panther, the death of Chadwick, Wakanda Forever. You brilliantly set yourself up to appreciate each of those different movie experiences as separate phenomenon, as opposed to those of us that saw it in theaters that had to deal with all of it at once. So give yourself those roses, because there's something very brilliant about the way that you did this. And so,
I had did it on purpose, just so everybody know.
yeah, you did. Yeah, you
I had
did.
did it like that on
Of course
purpose.
you did. Of course you did. There's a
And
reason why you get a doc here. I get it.
listen, and I would add too to everything that you just said in terms of cultural relevance and sort of things that are going on. One, I would also add the film Blue Beetle that I saw before I watched this as well. That again is another one of those that I feel
Yes.
like has un gets unnecessary hate, which that's a conversation for a different day. And the other thing that I would add that is still sort of recent for us at the time of this recording, but it is Jonathan Majors' exit from the MCU and everything that happened around that, which again is a conversation for a different day. But I think for me, and I would also add, and this is something Victor and I have talked about, I've talked about on the show before, my own journey as a biracial Black woman in the nerd space and how I have grown to really appreciate that and what that means, and also lean into where I see characters or stories in the nerd space that really speak to me on those levels, whether it be as a Black woman or as a woman or whatever, right? And I think that all of what you just said 5 years ago, Vanessa would have been like, you said what now? Like, what are you talking about, bro? Like, what are you talking about in this? Because the what I knew of Miles, and this is I think is a good segue, all what I knew before this is that he was a Black Spider-Man that wore Jordans. Like, that's literally
That was
what
it.
I knew. Like, that's what I knew. And as someone who, and again, don't come at me, I'm not a fan really of Spider-Man. I just thought Spider-Man was very, he's just very immature, kind of annoying. And for me, I was like, whatever. You know what I'm saying? And boy, was I wrong. Boy, was I wrong.
No. You were not wrong. That is the power of this iteration of
Say it.
Miles.
Say it.
And let's Yeah, because I got to give you your roses. I cannot let you yoke yourself by any sort of hesitance and think that there was something wrong with that. There is something very powerful about one, your ability to not jump on the bandwagon of everyone going, this is so great, this is so great. You took your time. You took your time. And so your reaction to it is not only authentic, it's super real because
Yes.
it happened when you wanted it to versus when everybody else might have told
Yes.
you that you had to do it, me included. You
Yes.
took your time, which is very important.
Yes.
Your position on Spider-Man, I had the same. I had the same. It changed with the 2002 Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies. I was not a Spider-Man fan. As a longtime comic book reader, never really attached to Peter Parker Spider-Man under any circumstance, even through the 90s cartoon. I respected it. It was fun. I certainly watched it. Wasn't a fan. If I missed it, it wasn't as big of a deal if I missed X-Men. If I missed the X-Men cartoon, if I missed the Batman the Animated Series cartoon, I was devastated. Spider-Man, it's on. Okay, cool.
Just so y'all know too, just so y'all know, this was before DVR, young people. So
Facts.
if you missed it, you just
You
missed it.
missed it.
You just
Okay.
missed it.
You just missed it. This is what that era was for me. So I was not really a Spider-Man fan either. I remember, they made the announcement that the Spider-Man movie was coming out. This is post the first X-Men movie, which was like, oh my God, this is amazing. We're getting this new renaissance. It's gonna be great. I remember walking to the theater to watch Spider-Man. And I watched that movie 5 times in theater because it so surprised me how good it
Yay.
actually was. Made me a fan of the character. Wasn't before. So your feelings about Spider-Man, same. Same. Same, 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 same. So yeah, no shade whatsoever. You're starting off in what I would call the greatest spot possible. Yeah.
And before we move into, we gonna have Victor bless us with his knowledge of all the things. I just want to tell y'all a quick story. Victor and I were in Dallas this
Yes.
past summer at a fan convention. Y'all, when I tell y'all, he almost told me to get out the car when I told him I never seen Into the Spider-Verse and or Across the Spider-Verse. We was in an Uber driving back from the movies. Victor almost told me to get out the car on the Dallas freeway because I never seen it. And see, look at how the universe came full circle. Now he giving me my roses because I watched it when I needed to.
Indeed,
So
indeed, indeed.
there's hope for
Yeah,
us all.
I could be wrong. Listen, my reaction was visceral because in Dallas, I was coming off of having experienced Across the Spider-Verse just like the week before. So I was still riding the high of having experienced Across the Spider-Verse. And let me keep it a million for the readers and followers out there. So in my capacity as the hardest working man in comics, one of the other things that I do is I moderate for celebrities. And I had the great fortune of moderating multiple times this year for one Mr. Shameik Moore, the voice of Miles Morales. So I had a heightened feeling sensitivity to Across the Spider-Verse because I literally had to, like, this is no joke. I literally had to watch it while we were in Philly because I had to moderate for Shameik in Philly. The weekend that it came out. So, like, I'm watching it with the intent that I'm getting ready to share the stage with the star of this thing. And then I also had a great experience with it. So it's one thing to kind of be like, oh man, I got to, I'm gonna rap with Shameik, this is gonna be dope. But then to actually love the movie as I did and get that extra experience, like I was still riding that high a week later. So when you said that, I'm like, get out the car.
It was Dallas in the summertime. It was too
Get out the car.
much. It
Get out the
was
car.
too much.
It's
But
funny because Shameik
alas,
was at that show too. He was at that show too. He was in
he
Dallas. So
was.
I'm like,
He was.
he gonna hear that you haven't watched it. And if I say anything other than get out the car, he's gonna be mad at me. He's gonna be mad at me. I can't have that. So
That was the best. And now we're here. And now we're here.
yes. Great
So
reference.
for those of us who are unfamiliar, not me anymore, but other people, who is Miles Morales?
The journey to understanding Miles Morales is a fascinating one. Okay, so what we're talking about in terms of Miles is the outcome of racial prejudice, a geeky petition, and a very clever writer from Cleveland, Ohio. Big shout out to Mr. Brian Michael Bendis for taking a chance to answer a question that theoretically kind of had been played with before, but not quite in the same way. Okay, so here's the origin, the genesis of Miles Morales. It starts with Childish Gambino, Donald Glover himself.
Listen, he
Swear,
is
swear.
a Renaissance man.
I'm just like
Love him.
legit, this is a thing. So post the Sam Raimi Spider-Man universe, right? The third movie has come out. It has its moment. It doesn't hold. Spider-Man 4 isn't gonna happen. We get wind that they're talking about rebooting the Spider-Man franchise. Donald Glover throws his hat in the ring, says, "I want to do it." And this is the thing, like when it comes to geeky bits about Spider-Man, Donald Glover was probably at the time especially one of the greatest showcases of a geeky person who understood what the character was supposed to be, but had enough charisma that he could also be Spider-Man. Like we've seen things where some people didn't feel like Tobey Maguire was the best of both. You know, he was a little old for high school Peter. His Spider-Man might read a little cringy to some people because he's not that cool. Whatever. Like there's different aspects, but Donald Glover, no, like you're talking Community era Donald Glover, like definitely. But with a hint of cool that if he was put, you know, Spider-Man, you would believe it. And in fact, this plays out. I can't remember which season it is, but the intro to Community, Donald Glover is wearing Spider-Man pajamas because this is part of
Oh.
his campaign of I want to be Spider-Man. Make me Spider-Man.
Yes.
Well, him saying so, and for those that don't know, Childish Gambino, Donald Glover, is a black man. And there were people that immediately responded with, "You can't be Spider-Man because Peter Parker's not black."
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Now, mind you, this is at a point in time where, you know, racial changes aren't in vogue at all. Like to change such a thing is crazy. The Fantastic Four movie where Michael B. Jordan is Johnny Storm, that's years away from this point. And it begins this conversation that goes into at what point in Spider-Man's origin story, his setup, or anything requires that he is Caucasian. What is it? That becomes the question because as we see it, it's like he's got to be geeky, he's got to be from Queens, he's got to be down on his luck, he's got to be an orphan. What part of that screams, I have to be white? And no one could really answer the question, especially when you go, well, but Peter Parker is white. No, Peter Parker is not real. He's not a real person.
He's
So,
real to me.
and I respect that. Keep that in your heart because if Donald Glover is Peter Parker, doesn't change the iterations that you've fallen in love with, that you've watched, that
Same.
you've read, doesn't change any of that. It just means that moving forward, the truth of the matter, which is a subject that is heavy in this movie, anyone can wear the mask. It is wide open. And in fact, there are jokes that are like pushed in all kinds of different media pieces where people assume Spider-Man is black. That's a joke in the No Way Home piece where Jamie Foxx's
Yes.
Electro brings it up. He's like, "Well, I just always thought that you were black because you were cool. And ain't no way no white dude is gonna be there." Like it's sprinkled throughout the whole thing. So Brian Michael Bendis, a phenomenal writer, had an amazing run, pun intended, starting off Ultimate Spider-Man, which was Marvel's like change in the millennia sort of initiative to try to revamp these classic characters for the new age, right? Taking things back to basics and kind of looking at things from a millennial point of view and going, how would these stories be different? You know, case in point, this new iteration of Ultimate Spider-Man, which focuses on Peter Parker, he's still in high school. What's the first thing he's going to do? The girl that he likes, he's going to tell her he's Spider-Man. Because, yes, what teenager wouldn't flex like that and be like, "Hey, listen, I love you. I'm into you. I'm about you. I'm going to walk in the ceiling right quick. Like, I'm going to just show you, like, this could be us. Like, what's up?" Like, you know, and it was such a phenomenal thing. What's crazy, again, the old heads of the comics community, specifically retailers, they hated the concept of rebooting this universe or the inclusion of the Ultimate Universe because it was not built to be a replacement. It was built to be running alongside of established continuity, but just saying, hey, there are going to be kids that need to see what a Spider-Man would be like them, because
Yes.
that's part of anyone can wear the mask. What does it look like? Peter Parker as a nerdy student in the 60s is very different for Peter Parker as a nerdy student today. It's not going to be
Yes.
the same. You know, comics aren't the same. The relevance of superheroes isn't the same. So Ultimate Universe created, Peter Parker is the main character. They come into a storyline where Peter Parker dies. And there becomes an opportunity of, well, what are we going to do? Do we pick a new Spider-Man? Ryan comes in. He's like, yep, there is a new Spider-Man, and his name is Miles Morales.
Come on, Brian Michael Bendis, you the real
Did the
MVP.
thing. Did the thing. In this iteration, the idea in the comics is you have that same setup of with great power comes great responsibility, where Miles had also been bitten by a spider, but had never taken on a mantle of a superhero. None. So when Peter Parker is in the fight for his life, and he could have used some help, Miles was around and could have done it, but Miles is like, that ain't me. I'm not Spider-Man. Yes, I got bit by the spider, but nah, I will not. But he gets, you know, the guilt kind of gets to him. He realizes that his uncle has something to do with it. The spider that bit him was stolen by his uncle. That's how it bit him. He feels a bit of responsibility, and that's how he becomes the new Spider-Man, because the person who he could have saved and didn't wasn't an Uncle Ben, it was Peter Parker himself. And that creates this whole other storyline. But the authenticity of Miles's story becomes so great that even when the Ultimate line was going to be done away with, dissolved, all the characters killed off, Miles Morales is the one character to survive and be brought over into other forms of media to showcase who he is. There was a cartoon series, Spectacular Spider-Man, I think Ultimate Spider-Man, all of which features Miles Morales as a character alongside Peter Parker, even to the point where that was a storyline that was written called Spider-Men, where they had to bring them together. They had to have the 616 MCU Spider-Man, Peter Parker, meet the Ultimate Comics 1099 Miles Morales, and they have a little bit of adventure, and they kind of go, this is kind of cool. There's a you, and you're a, wow, but we're not the same person. You can do things you can that you can't. You can do things I can't. Like, it allowed for them to be wholly separated characters, which was phenomenal. And that is where Miles Morales comes from. He's just been this character that his popularity has kept growing and growing and growing and growing, and it's hit a point now where he is almost synonymous with Spider-Man, just like Peter Parker. You have to define him as the Black Spider-Man, because he is that significant. And again, part of the thing that makes it so interesting is, if you look at from a intellectual property point of view, Miles has been the greatest mistake Marvel has ever created, because he so challenges the mantle of Spider-Man that they've had to change Miles's name multiple times to figure out different things to call him other than Spider-Man. So he's been, was it Arachnid Kid? There's a show on Disney Plus, Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. They call him Spin. Like, there's all these other names that they've tried to call him, because Spider-Man is supposed to be Peter Parker, but Miles is a true challenge to that title. And people are comfortable, like, nah, he's Spider-Man. Miles Morales is Spider-Man. Like, I'll say the whole thing just to give him his credit, because Miles Morales Spider-Man is that dope. Peter Parker Spider-Man is that dope. It's almost to the point where both are ubiquitously known as Spider-Man. And if you want to separate them, you go Peter Parker or you go Miles Morales. Both are Spider-Man, without question. And it's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
So I am feeling like, ooh, what I'm feeling like joyful. I don't know if that's the right word. I feel like that's not a big enough word for it in terms of understanding the continuity. And something you said really just stuck out to me in terms of Miles Morales was Marvel's biggest mistake, because that was a piece of the second film, right? Like, which that's a whole other conversation we'll get into. In terms of like, you're not supposed to be here, whatever. And I think very similarly to what we've talked about with the MCU's treatment of the original Black Panther film, like, y'all didn't know that people of color was going to show up and show out, and white people too, you know what I'm saying? And y'all didn't have no idea that this character would have this longevity and this increasing popularity. So y'all was like, ah, we're just gonna see. And then you saw and you thought it was gonna be over, and it's not. And so do you feel like there are, because I'm experiencing, I feel like there's a similarity there in terms of, again, the MCU's treatment of the first Black Panther film. Like, we'll just put this here and see what happens. The
Yes.
same thing with Miles.
To a degree, yes, because it's not the first time that another character other than Peter Parker was Spider-Man. So 2099 Spider-Man, Miguel O'Hara, who we see in Across the Spider-Verse,
Turned
was
up.
from the 90s, right? So Miguel was part of a whole thing, much in the same way that Ultimate Spider-Man was its own separate thing, that you had the 2099 verse. So 2099 was like a storyline setup or a universe setup that was 100 years in the future. You had characters like Doctor Doom, Hulk, Punisher, the X-Men, and Spider-Man. And so, in this regard, they created this brand new character, Miguel O'Hara, who is half Scottish, half Hispanic. And while he had this phenomenal design, big shout out to Peter David for the writing and Rick Leonardi for the art. He was a fan favorite character, but he didn't quite stick like Peter, you know. And he wasn't the only person that ever played around with the idea of being Spider-Man that wasn't Peter. There's another character named Ben Reilly, who was a clone of Peter, so it's a little closer. Ben also makes an appearance in Across Spider-Verse. He's Scarlet Spider with the light blue hoodie
Yes.
on. That's so very existential
He
about everything.
was.
He's hilarious. So with those two characters unto themselves, Scarlet Spider and 2099, we've had presentations of non-Peter Parker Spider-Man that just don't quite hit like this. They're very popular, without question, cosplayed, fandoms, toys, all kinds of stuff. Everyone loves them, but there's something special about Miles. And ultimately, what we look at it as is kind of as you just described him. He's the Black Spider-Man. And there is something about Blackness, especially when any time of geekdom, which has always been a marginalized kind of voice, where it is now accepted as pop cultural gold, Blackness has also kind of been a marginalized voice that is now accepted as pop cultural gold. So when you put, come on now, let's just keep it a million. Let's just keep it a million. So when those two things form like Voltron, it is bigger and better than anything that anyone could ever expect because it's only supposed to be this, but no, it's this. It's huge. It's bigger
Yes.
than that. It impacts
Yes.
everything. When you look at hip hop were like block parties. That's what hip hop was supposed to be. Block parties in the Bronx. It is now a worldwide phenomenon of music and culture and fashion. It was just supposed to be couple of folks, couple hundred people that all knew each other from the same neighborhood. Bigger than that. This is what Black culture is. And so again, you take a character like Miles, who is an embodiment of Black culture, geek culture, hip hop, all of the wonderful things, and blends it all together. There's when you talk about the substance, like again, big shout out to Brian Michael Bendis, he's my guy. Miles Morales is a biracial character that grew up in a two-parent household, already switching things up.
Yes.
But as a two-parent household, he took his mother's last name. Now, this is a tricky one because if you watch these movies, it changes and they don't address the change. His dad goes by Morales in the second movie,
Yes.
goes by Davis in the first movie because that's his last name. When you go into the understanding of how this happened, though, because Brian wrote it all out, Miles's birth name is Miles Davis. His dad was a huge, I
Oh.
assume was a huge, huge like blues fan, right? He loved music. Miles said he didn't want to live up to the shadow of Miles Davis, so he changed his name to Morales, which goes right into this concept of Miles as a person is shying away from the spotlight. He shied away from it from the very beginning. He didn't like Miles Davis as his name because it gave too much responsibility for him. So once he got bit by a spider and had the same abilities as Spider-Man, and he knew Spider-Man was his grand hero, I don't want to be that. I'm not trying to be that. So he does everything he can to stay away from it. So what a powerful showcase of characterization that doesn't become at all racist in its interpretation. Oh, this is a black guy that's going to do less than. Oh, he's lazy. No, he's not lazy. He's scared. He's scared of the prospect. He's scared of the perspective. He's scared of the responsibility. That's from the birth of his name. Miles Davis was too much, and he asked to change it because he didn't want to be held to that standard. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Also goes into the idea of I am my own person without any, trepidation of is my dad going to be mad at me? Is my uncle going to be mad at me? I don't want to be Miles Davis. I want to be Miles Morales. There's a purposeful subjugation against culture, against tradition that he's doing, and that is his character throughout. And it's these little building blocks of it that are ingrained into everything that is built into him that showcase this is absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
And you talk about the power of this. I think that we joked about it at the outset, how long it took me to watch the film.
Yes.
And I think part of that was that power. I think that, like, because when I saw, like, the trailers for the movie, and I, see this, I don't know how cartoons can be cute, but it's like it's just so adorable with his little hair and everything, his little Jordans, little skinny legs. I was like, this is a lot, right? And I think that you sort of referenced it, but I think for me, after Chadwick died, that was a lot, right? Like,
Yes.
there was so much that affected me in a way I didn't think, right? I didn't anticipate that that would happen. And I think part of my reluctance was in, like, I don't want to get hurt again. You know what I'm saying? Like, it very much was like, I love this thing so much. And again, Chadwick's death doesn't mean I love it any less. It was just very painful. And as someone who, people laugh at me all the time, like, I'm a whole psychologist, but I don't like feelings. Like, I don't like my own feelings. Like, I don't want to have
That's
feelings.
why you're a psychologist to understand that. Like, that's what
Yes,
that
right?
is.
I'm trying. I'll help you understand your feelings,
There it
but
is.
my own, no thank you. No thank you. And I think that for me, there was a there I was trying to protect myself from something that, again, with there was so much in Black Panther and in the conversations and the way my life has changed after that film and after, like, how, like, Black Panther, the original film, is what led me to doing what I'm doing right now. I got an invitation to write about this film, and I never looked back. And so for me, thinking about, well, what then will Miles open up for me? I was like, ah, no, we're not ready for that yet. Like, I'm not ready for that yet. Like, life, it was just too much, right? And so I think that for me, that power that you're describing was palpable. And I was like, no, thank you. Like, I'm just gonna sit over here because I'm not ready for that. And I think, as you mentioned, it worked out. The universe worked it out the way
Yes.
that it was intended. And I am thankful that I did not allow that reluctance to become, like, my truth, right? Like, because again, I think everything that you just said, like, that is all just icing on top of this
Course.
amazing cake in terms of why this character, this story is so powerful. I think understanding all those behind the scenes things, I think, is important. And so I also think, and this is something that I'll say just very transparently, as someone who is biracial myself, sometimes I feel like maybe it's not my place to care about things that are super Black. You know what I'm
Right.
saying? And so I think that with Miles, that was something, because Black Panther, it was, to me, it was so in your face. Like, it would be hard not to engage because it was so in your face. Whereas I think the Spider-Verse, and we'll talk about this in a few minutes in terms of the sort of like box office success, it was very different. And it was like
Yes.
animated, so it was different. And so I think there is a niche group of people who are like, this is the jam. And it was different with Black Panther was nominated for an Oscar. And so
Right.
I feel like it's, which again doesn't give it legitimacy, let me just say that. It's just a thing.
Well, yeah, but it kind of does though, because there is something about being seen by outside parties that make things a little bit more valid than internal high fives, and let me say this because I would be remiss to not give her roses as well. Sarah Pacelli, Italian comic book artist, who is the co-creator of Miles Morales, female Italian comic creator. So let me give that all of
Come
the
on.
roses because, again, the creation of Miles is rooted firmly in two people who had an understanding of this character without the cultural background to reflect all the things that they built into it. There are like parallels, there are similarities, but they are not self-identifying as either Black Puerto Rican, like from New York, none of that. So the
Yeah.
fact that they were able to build such an authentic version of this
Yes.
character
Yes.
that we all love, believe, and follow without having that is a true testament to both of their talent structures. And it cannot be said enough how incredible what they did was, right? And to that very end, I think that speaks even more volumes to what we're going to talk about later, how Black Panther as a movie had such a specific guided Black hand that it spoke directly to Black folks that this series has not had because it isn't so directly influenced by Black creatives, which I think there's something very interesting to it. And I think that speaks to, dare I say, the lack of dollars that it's made versus other things. So we'll get into that. We'll get into that.
And just like that, just like Across the Spider-Verse, we're gonna leave y'all with that little tidbit cliffhanger right there. Okay, make sure you come back and hear part two of this phenomenal, of this fantabulous, of this amazing conversation. Until then, great people, I wish you and your families safety, health, and joy. Until next time.